today on Real Radio.
I mean, you're here in all this light and all this glory. You go ahead and tell me my whole future and lay it out there, and I can put little post-its next to it and put it in my day timer and get my computer all set up, and you tell me the future. God says, no. You go to Damascus and the rest will be told you. That's exactly how God works in your life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called My Life, God's Plan, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. A lot of years have gone by since Paul first began his missionary journeys. And you know, Paul was truly committed to spreading the gospel to the Gentile world. But now, Paul is ready for the end of his mission. In the message called Compromise or Just Being Wise from Acts chapter 21, verses 15 through 26, we learned that Paul has arrived in Jerusalem to discover that many of the Jewish believers there were still bound by religious law, legalism, and a works-based faith. So, Paul used his freedom in Christ to become a servant, that he might win them over to a faith-based relationship with Christ that's filled with grace. Many thought he was compromising his position, but Paul considered it a wise decision to show God's passion towards them. Now, continuing in chapter 21 at verse 27, we find Paul suddenly dealing with a life-and-death struggle as he's being attacked by a mob in the temple. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul had a special calling on his life to bring those who are far from Christ near to him. And you know, we as Christians have that same calling today, to bring God's plan to others, and that his plan is not to harm us, but to give us a future and a hope. And now continuing his lesson called My Life, God's Plan, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Maybe some of you have been a Christian growing up all along the way, and you say, well, gosh, I'm not a redeemed murderer. You know, I don't have a great story. I don't have a testimony to tell people. Oh, yeah, you do. You can say how God kept you in a world gone mad. You have a testimony that I cannot better, nor can the person sitting next to you better. You can sit there and give all the Bible verses that you want when you're witnessing to somebody. But what comes across is what Jesus has done to you personally. How do you walk up? This week, we have an opportunity to be in the vicinity. Maybe we'll get to meet Carl Sagan. We're going to be at JPL in Pasadena. Wouldn't it be awesome if the opportunity is provided? You can walk up to Carl Sagan or Bill Clinton. It doesn't matter. And you can walk up there and say, you know what? Jesus is real. Well, I don't believe in him. Well, you know what? He's real because this is what he did in my life. I used to be this, or I was like this, or all my friends went this way and I didn't. And God was this and that and to me, and this is what happened, and nah. And you know what? No one's got a word to say back to that. Do you understand that? Well, I don't believe. Well, sir, you can go right ahead and not believe, but I can tell you right now, Jesus has radically changed my life. You have that testimony, people. Oh, I'm not really schooled in evangelism. You've got a testimony. Someday we ought to break this stuff about clocks. And I tell you what, Lord willing, if we get into the new sanctuary, we'll have one service for the first week, we hope. We ought to just dedicate that service and have you guys speak your testimonies about what God has done in your life. It is one of the most powerful things in the world. Well, I don't have anything to say. When do you accept Jesus? 82. Well, what were you doing before that? I don't want to talk about it. You've got a testimony. Paul gives his testimony. It's very powerful. Testimonies are powerful. There was a blind man that couldn't see before. Jesus touched him. He could see. How did people come to faith in Christ? The blind man could see, and he told people about it. There was a woman bleeding for 12 years. She touched the hem of his garment. She was made whole. She had a testimony. There was a demoniac living in the graveyard. He had a testimony. In fact, he went back and evangelized Decapolis, 10 cities, and led them to Christ. Lazarus had a testimony, raised from the dead. How do you deal with that? Well, I don't believe in the existence of God. That's your problem, pal. He raised me from the dead. Go figure. Isn't that great? How do you do? You can't deal with that. You have to receive it. The testimony of the deaf and dumb guy. I can hear and I can speak. What do you want me to say? Isn't that great? Genesis 50, verse 20. Genesis 50, 20 says, "But as for you," Joseph said, "you've meant it for evil, my brothers. You've meant it for evil, but God meant it for good in the order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive." You think tough stuff's going on in your life? Listen, it's to the furtherance of the gospel, people. Joel chapter 2, verse 25 says, "So I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten." Isn't that great news? Jack, my life feels like it's coming to an end. Listen, God's going to restore what the locust has eaten. Joel 2:25. The next thing we want to see is in verses 6 to 16, and that is Paul's timely conversion. God changes lives, and here it is. Verse 6, "Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" Well, that's funny. Jesus had never been touched by Paul. Paul never laid his hands on Jesus. "Saul, what are you doing persecuting me?" So I answered and said, "Who are you, Lord?" "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute." What does this mean, quickly? You mess around with a Christian, you're messing around with Jesus Christ. The beautiful Raiders cheerleader, Playboy centerfold model, abducted and murdered. And you had to zoom in to some of the offbeat news stations to get the true story. They showed you the pictures in, you know, her in her pom-pom outfit or cleavage here or cleavage there. And the truth was, why didn't they show her getting baptized with her Christian friends? Why didn't they tell you, like some of the few other stations did, that 2 months ago she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior? Why didn't they tell you that? Why didn't they tell you that she was involved in a church and a home study group? Why didn't they tell us that? The world's got its own pictures and its own agenda. Her life was radically changed. Jack, she was murdered. Maybe God allowed it to spare her from her past. Maybe with her brand new virgin walk, it was going to be too much for her to bear. I'm not God. I don't know. I just know that she's in heaven today. And the world says, well, how can somebody like that go to heaven? Well, stop looking at the past. Look at her most recent future. Isn't that awesome? Can God really save somebody like that? Listen, pal, if God can't save somebody like that, I'm in deep, deep trouble. And if you'd wake up, you'd realize you're in deep trouble too if God can't save somebody like her. The mark of true conversion is found right here in verse 10. "So I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?'" There it is. What shall I do, Lord? You ought to start writing in your Bible. You ought to start today. You ought to start with verse 10. You ought to start with the first sentence. What shall I do, Lord? That's a sign of a true conversion. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And listen to what the response is. This is so typical of God. "And the Lord said to me, 'Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do.'" No, Lord, excuse me, tell me now. I mean, you're here in all this light and all this glory. You go ahead and tell me my whole future and lay it out there, and I can put little post-its next to it and put it in my day timer and get my computer all set up, and you tell me the future. God says, no. You go to Damascus and the rest will be told you. That's exactly how God works in your life. No, no, tell me the story. No. God says, Abraham, in Ur of the Chukuzis. in Ur of the Chaldees. Ur is where they invented the first jacuzzi, hot tub. Abram, get up and move. Well, where? I'm not going to tell you where. You just get up and start going. Can you? What if God spoke to you like that? God knows. He wouldn't speak to me like that. I got to have everything ordered out. All right. His sights just went, who was that that just said that? Boop, 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 boop. Oh, I just love to make change. We have an ordered little life, and God says, kaboom! Follow me. Where are we going? Ah, you just follow. I'll show you. But where are we going? Isn't it great? You can grab a little kid's hand and start walking, and they'll just walk with you. Grab a teenager. Where are we going? Is there food there? Come on, let's go. Where are we going? This is a surprise. I don't want to go. Isn't that weird? What's wrong with them? My daughter's home very sick right now. It's great. She's so compliant when she's got 102 and a half fever. Honey, sit up and take this. Okay. Lay down. All right. It's great. Mark Twain said, have I already told you this or did I tell somebody else this? Mark Twain said, when you have children, you put them in a 55-gallon wine barrel with a hole in it. And you feed them through the knot hole till they're about 13. And when they're 13, he said, seal up the knot hole. We're to follow the Lord. Verse 11, and since I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand of those who were with me. Oh, man, I came to Damascus. Then when Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews, was there. And he came to me and he stood and he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And in that same hour, I looked up at him. Verse 14, then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should, number one, know his will. Number two, see the just one. You've seen the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And number three, hear the voice of his mouth. You've been blessed, Paul. You've been blessed by God himself. For you will be his witness, verse 15, to all men. And what you have seen and heard, that's exactly what he's saying right now in this message to these people. And now, why are you waiting? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. People, real quick, I can't understand it. It's clear in the Greek language. A lot of people struggle with verse 16, and they say, wait a minute. It says, and now, why are you waiting? Rise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, that baptism somehow saves you. That's not what it says here. It says, arise, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You see the difference here? It's a great difference. Well, Jack, how do you know for sure? Well, read your Bible. In Acts 20:21, it says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say whoever gets dipped shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Should you be baptized? Yes, but it doesn't save you. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if you believe in your heart that God has raised Christ Jesus from the dead and confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. Baptism is an outward announcement of what you said inside your heart. Third and final thing, we'll wrap this up, verses 17 to 30, is Paul's special calling in his life. Paul had a special calling in his life. Not only Paul's timely conversion in verses 6 to 16, and Paul's past, God was at work in verses 1 through 5, but now in verses 17 to 29, or really 30, Paul's special calling in life, it was tremendous. Then it happened when I returned to Jerusalem, was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance, and I saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. I'm a guilty guy. No one's going to want me. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by consenting to his death. I was even the guardian of the clothes of the people who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart. Listen, what does it say? Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. Wow. And listen, the Jews in that area there, they listened to him until this word. What word? Gentiles. Wow, this is good. Good. This is fantastic. God said, I'm going to leave here and go far from here and minister to the Gentiles. Good, good. What? Did he say? He said Gentiles. That's it. They begin to rip their clothes and throw dust in the air. Why? Because those of us who are Gentiles, if you're not a Jew, if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. And ancient Judaism taught that Gentiles were literally fuel for hell. Seriously, that they believed that the Gentile bodies would stoke the flames of hell. That's why we were created. Isn't that amazing? In fact, presto. The word is presto log. Presto log. I'm kidding. Put them in the fire and burn them. He mentions Gentiles. That's it. Gentiles can't get saved. How could God love a Gentile? And they go bananas. Or they go falafels on them. Until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, he's not even fit to live. Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes, they didn't tear off his clothes, they tore off their own clothes. That's a sign of absolute disgust. They tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air, and the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging. Very few people survived examining under scourging. You're put in stocks. You know the old, your head? Your head's in the block. Your hands are sticking out. Your feet. This is all you see. And your back is arched open like the letter C. And they take cat of nine tails and whips. Cat of nine tails is a piece of wood with a ball on the end of leather. And they're anywhere from 9 to 13 inches long, the straps. And there's about 9, or anywhere from 9 to 21 straps. And they cut the leather and they insert inside the leather the little slit. They put rock, glass, or animal bones. And they got Paul in there and they're about ready to hit him. They're about ready to get him to confess about why the people just went berserk. What on earth did he say in Hebrew to freak these people out? Let's get the truth out of them. We'll beat the snot out of them. Literally. Very few people survived. So they get him bound up. They're going to really let it have it. Verse 25, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion, can you get this? He is already bound up. Excuse me? What is it? Is it lawful to beat a Roman? It's not lawful. Who's talking about Romans around here anyway? Well, I'm a Roman. Well, wait a minute. Man, with a lot of money, I became a Roman citizen, which is illegal, by the way. Yeah, that was illegal. I paid a lot of money to become a U.S. citizen, so to speak. How is it that you're a Roman? I was born Roman. I was born free. Wow. Hold it. Time out. You guys hang on. It's against the law to beat a Roman without a trial. They go back. The head of the centurion is very upset. He could be absolutely scourged to death himself for this. If Paul would have been hit, he would have been beat to death under Roman law. Verse 30, the next day, after they released him, the next day, because he wanted to know for certain why, this is the centurion, why was Paul accused by the Jews? He released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all the council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. People, God has used Paul's life to bring about the testimony of the gospel of Christ. He's doing it in your life. He's going to do it in our lives completely. And remember this, I want to leave this with you. You know this verse very well. I just want to leave it in your ears. Jeremiah 29:11. It's true today, you know, people. I'm going to read it in two versions. The King James says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." The NIV, the nearly inspired version, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And it's happening in Paul's life. Got pretty hairy, didn't it? God's still in it. Pretty rough ride? He's right in the middle of where you're at. Let's pray. Gracious and awesome and precious and loving, forgiving, gentle, compassionate, wonderful God that you are. Lord, we come before you today, and as believers in Jesus Christ, we rest our case in you. Lord, the world seemingly goes about to scourge us, but God, we commit our lives into your hands. Father, bless these people here. God, fill them with the baptism power of the Holy Spirit, with boldness to proclaim your truth, your way. Use them. Lord, the past that each of us have has literally been redeemed by you and now wants to be used to share with other people our testimonies that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that is a saving and loving God. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your grace. In Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called My Life, God's Plan. Thanks for listening. And what can we learn from Paul's situation? God's plan is faithful, but it's not always easy. My Life, God's Plan is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here's an event that we'd like you to save the date for. Our very own Pastor Jack is going to be speaking at the annual 2019 Proximity Conference on awaiting his return. The conference will be held on January the 5th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Calvary Church, Santa Ana. That's in Santa Ana, California. And it's hosted by Calvary Chapel of Tustin. Now, Pastor Jack, as you might already know, is not only the founder and senior pastor of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills here in Southern California, but his teachings are heard globally, including Europe, the Middle East, Africa, Australia, and throughout the Hawaiian Islands. His passion and the subject of many of his teachings is on what the Bible has to say about the end times, which is what this conference is all about. And joining Pastor Jack will be his good friend, Amir Safati. Amir was born in Israel, achieved the rank of major in the Israeli Defense Force. He's also one of the best tour guides in that region. Take it from me, I've been with him. And he's a fabulous speaker. Now, in 2001, he became the founder and president of Behold Israel. That's an organization that provides worldwide, real-time access to news and information about Israel from within the powerful context of Bible history and prophecy. So, don't forget to register for this powerful and very informative event on awaiting the Lord's return and, of course, the current events that surround biblical prophecy. It all happens January 5th. You can register online at cctustin.org. That's cctustin.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call, 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.